Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
No! Welcome into Sports Saturday. We back.
Good to see you.
We back, baby.
Right?
Joe Fish, back in the fold. And my mic's falling apart on me already. I'm trying to get back, shake the rust off. Joe Fish the third here. Rashad Taylor across the faux marble table.
What a tie.
Across the non-foggy glass, Jordan Schultz.
I can see you.
This is Sports Saturday on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 The Fan, 1080 The Fan, Odyssey app, YouTube, and Twitch for the kids. We're back.
All right.
We're good. I realized this morning, I was like, all right, let's do the math. Let's do the quick math here. How long was it since we had all been together again? And I think it's been about a month. When I go back on the calendar, I think it's been damn near a month that all three of us have been, and mostly my fault. That
yeah.
The three of us haven't been back together.
So we were, it was just Jordan and I before 4th of July,
mm-hmm.
and then 4th of July happened. And then the next week, it was just Jordan and I. And so, yeah, it's been about a month.
So, the last show we were all together for was June 20th.
Nothing really happened.
Yeah. And not a lot going on, right?
Slow news week.
Yes. And then the following Saturday, I was fully intending to come into the show.
Fully, I'm sure.
Until I got home Friday night, or I guess Saturday morning, you should say. Of June 27th at 4 a.m. after going to the World Cup game the day before, Egypt versus Iran. So,
Rashad and I,
you guys knew it. Yeah.
We
talked about
as soon
this,
as you said like, World Cup, we were like, oh, okay, yeah, we won't see him on Saturday.
Come on.
Well, hey, at least you got the text, the 4 a.m. text saying that I just got home. I ain't going to be in there tomorrow.
I think that's the bare minimum, but I appreciate it.
No, for sure. Like, dude, hey, as long as you let us know, man.
At least Swag, when he goes to a Seahawks game, books a fill-in the day before.
Yeah, right?
He tells Dirt and Sprague, hey, guys, I'll be back at 3 a.m., but I'll be on the show.
Ah, you guys got it.
No, yeah. We held it down. There wasn't a whole lot of new news that broke, so...
No.
Didn't have a bunch to talk about. Just, you know, a brand new superstar that's here in Portland and... You know, contract is no longer around.
And then 4th of July happened, which none of us could do a show for that. I mean, come on.
I almost came in anyway.
America 250? Whoa,
eat
pause.
Hot dogs.
Yeah.
So that happened. And then last week, camping trip for your boy. No cell service.
Where'd you go?
Out near Tillamook off the Trask River. Tillamook. So right before you get to Tillamook, you just like hang a Louie, go back into the forest a little bit, about 20 minutes. So
underrated spot Tillamook is. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, we often, especially if you're driving like towards the coast, you know, I think that's always the goal. But Tillamook is a little tucked away spot for folks. It's not just the cheese factory out there, folks.
No, it's got a good central it's a good central location if you get to want to get to like North Coast,
yeah,
you know, get up to Seaside and Astoria in that part, or if you just need to go a little bit south and get to Cannon Beach and Lincoln City and all that. It's good. It's a good central location.
Can I say something that might be controversial?
Oh boy.
Especially now that we're older.
Here we go.
Of all the like ocean that we have here, all the ocean beaches and stuff like that.
Well, we
that.
Have one ocean here.
Yeah, coast. Excuse me, all the ocean coast. That's what I'm looking for.
The Oregon
all
coast.
The Oregon coast that we have here, Lincoln City is the worst one.
The worst?
Sorry.
Shut up.
I'm sorry. Lincoln City is trash, bro. There's nothing to do there. Everything closes at like 7, 8 o'clock. There's like three restaurants.
That's not
a controversial.
Restaurants.
That's
come
a controversial
on,
take.
That's
I'm
extremely
sorry.
Controversial.
Listen, I went to I recently went to Lincoln City. Actually, the last like four times we've been to the beach, it's all been Lincoln City.
I have a very personal connection to Lincoln City where I cannot agree.
I do too.
No, lay yours out first.
Growing up, I did too, right? This is when before school started, you know, my family and I would usually go to Lincoln City and we'd hit the outlets and do some other stuff.
Ah, like, the outlets.
It was always like it was always a good time to me. But now that I'm older, it's like, man, this is trash. There's nothing to do after.
Well, they got
6 o'clock.
They got the casino.
Yeah, they literally have a casino.
Don't care
that's
about
open
the casino.
5 a.m.
Don't care about the casino.
Don't care about the casino.
Don't care about the casino. I'm sorry, y'all. I lived in Vegas for like 5 years. I could care less about a casino.
Yeah. I mean, I could probably think of my least favorite coastal town. I will say favorite coastal town though.
Which one?
Newport, hands down. It's a bay.
Like aquariums, yeah.
You got the bay. You got an actual coastline. Great beach. Great food. I mean, I love it.
Well, see,
absolutely
now,
love it.
Now I just sound like an ass because my favorite is Lincoln City. So F you, Rashawn.
I don't know.
See, and
I got married in Lincoln City, for God's sake.
And I know Papa.
Well, it's sentimental for you.
Hey,
yeah.
I know that Papa Fish is listening right now, Papa Joe, and he is a Taft Tiger alum. All right.
Oh, sorry about
so
that.
So these are fighting words, okay? And so, if you ask him, those 1980 or 79 Taft Tigers football team,
I'm sure
they should have made the playoffs.
I'm
all
sure
right?
it was lit out there.
Ask
you know.
Your dad if he remembers like when Lincoln City was still kind of just like four or five different towns, Taft included.
Ah, yeah.
I think that right. happened when he was younger, when they all just kind of melded into one, and there was like this.
Like Salishan is like its own kind of
exactly.
little
exactly, and there yeah. used to be like this like theme park over like on the coast
oh,
there too. Yeah. There was something to do. Like, ask your dad about it. It was the Disneyland of the Oregon coast. Not even close to the size, but like we had something there.
Disneyland of the Oregon.
That's
coast.
That's what somebody said. That's a name.
Well, that's what we got. So man, it's the Oregon listen. Coast, for God's sakes. And this was what, the 60s
I
or
mean,
70s?
I'm not going to throw out town names, but I can imagine there are some coastal cities south of Newport that are woof.
Oh, like, I'm sure there are.
Like Coos Bay.
But of the main ones.
I've never been to Coos
maybe.
Bay.
Maybe.
So I can't say.
Of the main ones that we for sure know, I have been to Coos Bay for like the, that's where the 2A basketball tournament used to be.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, right. So I have been to Coos Bay. Shout out to Coos Bay, but.
Not,
nah, son.
Not really.
Nah, son. We're good. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I say this every time I go to Lincoln City. Like, man, this is so boring. And, like, there's nothing to do. There's nothing for adults to go to, like, outside of a casino. It's like, I don't want to do that.
There's a lot
gamble.
Of bars. There's a lot of different activities
that close
now.
At 10. We went to one bar. It was, like a Saturday. They closed at, like, 12. And I was like, which is you know,
I would
standard.
Agree with, I would agree with you that a coastal like city anywhere needs to have a couple of late night spots.
Seaside.
Like outside of the casino. But if you want a drink, you literally can get one until 2:30 a.m. in the city. So I don't know what you're bitching about.
Well, hey, Newport, we spent a weekend down there for my buddy's wedding a couple of years ago.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And at nighttime, we tore the town up. There's a couple spots open late
in
Newport.
Good, okay.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the local fishermen definitely weren't happy about this giant wedding party in their local dive bar. But you know, we made lemons out of lemonade.
Well, didn't they used to have Rogue there? And I think that was actually like a later night place in Newport. Obviously, not closed. Rogue is gone.
We went to the Pelican Brewing that was out there.
Yeah, Pelican's great.
City.
Yeah, Pelican's awesome.
I looked at that menu and said. Wait, am I at Ruth's Chris? Is this El Gaucho? Like, why is everything
Dude,
here so expensive?
No, the food is awesome.
But it's actually
cool.
It pulls
but
through.
I'm not paying $27 for a burger. That's insane.
Well, that's, you know, that's coastal prices.
That's a vacation market, bud.
When me and my dad went to the coast for our little fishing trip like a month and a half or so ago, that was basically standard damn near every place. It was like burgers were 20 plus.
Yep. So now you weren't getting out for less than 22 for a burger.
There is the one thing I love about Lincoln City is the spot that I always get. You know, I stay at this place called the, I'm not going to tell anybody because then they'll book it. But it's, you know, it's got a nice little, has a hot tub in the front room. Like, there you go. Start there. Like, that's, and it's
well, like in your hotel room?
Yeah, sounds in
like
the front room.
Sounds
and
like
then,
a safety hazard, but I mean, and,
well, no, those are the best places.
It's awesome. You know, it's awesome. And the room is just right looking at the ocean and everything like that. It's like, it's an awesome spot. So the room is always the best part of going to Lincoln City. But outside of that, it's like, man, this is pretty. Barnacle Bills went there, tried to get some like smoked salmon and some smoked stuff. And look at those prices all of a sudden. It's like, when did they jump up? $17. So now there's like $55 a pound. It's like, yeah, we're good. Yeah. We're okay. I can smoke salmon at home.
So yeah, I've been just been gallivanting around the Pacific Northwest, man. You know, the as much as I love camping, 4th of July, all of it, the World Cup. That
just dominated the headlines, man.
That game, I went to Egypt versus Iran.
He went to the Pride game.
Yeah, it was the Pride match between Egypt versus Iran, and there were no problems. Like, I didn't see, like, there was nothing.
I'm sure they didn't even care. What's a Pride?
Yeah, it was, I saw a gay dude and an Egyptian guy talking to each other. Yeah,
oh, right? My God.
Like, and, like, just hamming it up. It was great. It was fine. Yeah, it was all good. Yeah, it was quite a day because we drove up that day, went to the match, and then drove down that night. And, I mean, I don't even know where to start. It was just like we got to a point, like we parked in the parking garage, which there's a whole story behind the parking garage situation. But
we're like near Lumen?
It was like a mile and a half north of Lumen. So we had to walk a little bit. But,
I gotcha.
Yeah, like a little bit north of Pike's Market.
Near the hotel district more.
A little bit, yeah. And so
closer to the Space Needle.
We walked a little bit from down there, and we looked over this like ledge and to see down in like near the piers and stuff like that. And about, you know, I don't know, a few blocks down, you could see however many hundreds of yards away, just this giant group of Egyptian fans with flags and horns. And then just from that point for the next like 7 hours, it was nothing but just a cacophony of noise, chants, cheers, yelling, horns. Like,
I know it had to be crazy.
It was wild. It was just like, getting into the stadium, it was just like I was overwhelmed. It was so much stimuli and just so much like I said, just cheering, yelling, chanting, like people moving all over the place. It was just, we're like, where should we go? I'm like, let's just get to our effing seats.
Wherever. It doesn't matter.
Stay here. Like,
yeah, dude. No, my buddy went up there for the USA game that Monday. I want to say that was the 6th. And he said he didn't actually go to the game. My buddy Travis actually did go to the game. But
was that the one that was in the middle of the day? That was the
I can't remember who USA played when the 4-1 loss.
Belgium. Yeah, I mean, it's Belgium. It was the one that they lost. Yeah,
in the 16.
I was going to say, wait, that was...
So he said he went up there and just, you talk about Americana all over the place. Like, I mean, a couple days after 4th of July, so you know all those 4th of July t-shirts and everything went on sale like the day after. So I heard that environment up there was crazy. That's probably my one regret is that I didn't get a chance to even get up to Seattle.
Just go up there.
I was going to go, but I was like, I had some work to do. I have some stuff to finish. So I just couldn't go. But that's kind of my one regret now. Now that it's over, I was like, man, I would have been great to get up there and just be around that energy for just a few hours.
It was insane, man. Like, so the match that I went to, Egypt versus Iran, it was the last game of their group stage. And so Egypt, basically, like, if they just locked in a draw in this match, they were good. That's, you know. Even with a loss, they had a good chance of making it. Iran needed the win. Like, they needed the win. The draw, they could settle for it, but a win essentially seals it for them. It's 1-1, essentially, the whole match. And then Iran gets a goal late in it, and the place just erupts. They start losing it. Their team runs on the field, start dogpiling. This is in like the 88th minute or something like that. So the Iran fans are just losing it all around me. Egyptian fans are just, you know, besides themselves, hands in their faces, surrender cobras all over the place. And then they, oh, during the celebration, during this moment, a fan even jumps over the barricade, runs on to the field, broke like six tackles.
Nice.
He fell on the ground and somehow did some sort of like contortionist move.
Hey, Seahawks, you need a running back. Go get him.
It was beast mode 2.0.
Yeah.
Like he couldn't be stopped. And then he finally just gave up and hit the deck. They take him away. They go and review it. Offside, no goal.
See?
And so this guy ran on the field, caught a charge. If he was there visiting the country, he probably got flown back.
Oh, immediately. I was thinking about something, fellas, and you can tell me if you know you thought about this at all. How crappy does MLS feel right now?
Well, according to them, did you see their promo and their commercials that they're running?
I did not.
They said, "Thanks, world. We got it from here."
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Hey, because, the Timbers do. They won 5-1 the other night.
Because guess what? That's great. Good job.
Hey,
go Timbers.
Hell yeah. We're home of the Timbers.
Go Timbers.
Celebrate
that. Yeah, that's what's up.
No,
yeah,
we
go
are.
Timbers.
I just done a World Cup win.
But here's the cool part. Like, we've conditioned ourselves to believe here in the States that we do not like soccer. We're not a soccer country. Like, that's just not what we do. And the World Cup came over and just completely took over everything. And it's like, it's not that we don't like soccer.
Footy Fisher.
We don't like you. We don't like the product that MLS, you know, kind of puts out there. So it's not that the States don't like soccer. It's that, hey, man, like you saw here in the Northwest, if we'll get up for some stuff. I saw, man, Belgium and Argentina jerseys and Mexico jerseys and Israel jerseys, every single country represented. I saw a bar packed out with it, you know, up and down Mississippi. It's just that we just don't care for MLS. It's, I mean, I wish it were better.
I care more so for 12, 13 year old eighth grade soccer than MLS.
There you go.
And Joey yesterday
playing some footy.
He had a nice little goal yesterday.
Look at him.
Oh,
he's gonna be a big star.
Shalem Valley. Yesterday they tied. They probably should have got the dub, but they'll take the point, they'll take the draw. But Joey, he went straight Erling Haaland on this goal. It was the ball, it was on the right side, and he just chased it down, outran these two cats, and then put it in the goal.
Look,
netted it.
He's gonna be a big star, man.
Dude, I'm telling you, there are moments where I gotta. His coach tells me, and his coach knows a hell of a lot more about soccer than I do, way more. And so he tells me, I'm like, really? Is he? Yeah. Is he? And he's like, dude, he's got a boot on him. Absolute boot.
A boot. What a foot.
An absolute right toe.
You hear John Strong's goal call.
The Filipino.
When he scored in your head.
Huh?
You hear John Strong's goal call.
Oh, yeah.
When he scored in your head. Like, oh, like, yes.
And there's Fisher from outside the box.
Yeah. Goal! I can't wait. I'll be there as soon as he makes it. Like, I told you, Joey, I knew we could do it. Right there from the beginning.
Yeah, in fact, actually at 10:20, we will be switching over our broadcast to play-by-play of Shehalem Valley Soccer Club taking on, what is it, the Westside Metro?
If they're paying, I'll do it.
Yeah, we got Dusty and Swag live on location. Is that it?
Yeah.
No, us. I'll get the stream pulled up on the phone. And United PDX 12B Premier. Is who they're playing live from Rock Creek Powerline Soccer Fields.
I'm doing it. If Boss Man is listening,
throw it up on the TV.
Yeah, if Boss Man's listening, man, you want to slide an extra $10 to both of us? Yeah, I'll do it.
I feel like we should do that.
I work cheap, man.
We should do that on this station. Just once, you know, have us call an eighth grade championship game.
We should just go to some random.
Have us like the Tualatin Valley Youth Football League. We're calling the eighth grade championship game just for S and
Gs. More than that, we should see if the Boss people will pay for us to go to the Mushball Championship.
Mushball?
Mushball. You guys would love it. It's basically baseball with a big ass like soft kind of ball and everything. Not an actual softball, but
Portland Mushball. Is this what I'm seeing?
Yeah,
here?
Mushball is a huge.
It sounds
thing.
Like something completely different.
No, it's essentially softball, just with no glove mushball. Or anything like. Well, you can't use gloves.
Oh, like 16-inch softball?
Yeah.
What
it's
the
a whole
hell?
It's a whole tournament in Lincoln City. It's the only time Lincoln City is lit.
It's like
the only time
of
all year.
Basically.
Oh my God, that thing is ginormous.
Yeah, we should get a team.
Dude, mushball.
Yes.
Well, we were supposed to go call the Corgi races up in Seattle, too. Remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah,
still down for that.
We got to get that figured out somehow. Anyways, dude, we have a few things to get to. Like
one
I said,
or two.
It's been a month.
Yeah.
So we have a couple Blazers matters to get to. I have the four best stories of the World Cup. I was going to try and make a top five, and I was like, I couldn't find the fifth one or think of it, so I said, ah, screw it. It's a top four list. I said Blazer stuff, NBA stuff, basketball stuff.
Fair.
Lots of transactions, moves, big moves.
Whole lot
the
of
league.
Stuff.
Yeah, I feel like that all of these subjects are going to be taken up the entire program.
Let's do that.
We got Blazers, Jaw, Moda Center talk. We've got World Cup top stories, and then NBA transactions over the last month with three big moves and then one really, really, really big move that we're still waiting on, and Adam Silver's waiting on as well, so that way he can make his schedule.
Come on, bro.
And we can't even squeeze in Bryson DeChambeau just acting like a complete douche.
Well, that's...
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's...
par for the course. That's no pun intended.
That's evergreen, bud. We
yeah,
can,
you're not wrong.
We can do that whenever. But I think it is only fair that on this rendition of Sports Saturday, we ask this question. Oh, where's my hotkey? Where's my hotkey?
Where is Ja?
Oh, we know where he is.
That works now.
We know where Ja is. Ja is in Portland, Oregon, baby. Ja Morant, the newest Portland Trailblazer. Now that we've had 2-3 weeks to digest this, we can give our takes and our feelings on this next Sports Saturday, the Fan Sports Network.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintainx.com/AI.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey, we're back. Sports Saturday.
Sports.
Not U.S. Open, excuse me, British Open, or is it the Open?
It's just the Open.
Okay. I am going to miss all the British commentators from the soccer, from the World Cup.
And the Mexican
as if
commentators
they just,
as
if they don't call games after the World Cup.
Like,
they
you
just,
can tune in.
They just go into hiding for 4 years, and then they show back up.
I don't know. Listen to the Mexico broadcast. was always so much fun.
Can we? I think we have in the library the Argentina goal from the other day when they took the lead.
Bet you if you go to Patrick's house, you could hear all these announcers.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm sure Patrick doesn't have a whole lot of visitors if we're going to have soccer on all day.
I think this is, before we get into yaw stuff, this was the call for Argentina, the game winner.
Macalister libre! Macalister Pablo otra vez! Viva Messi! Primero, Spence! Ah, Maca! Ah, Maca! Messi! Engancha y va! Tiró con la derecha!
That's
not an Argentina fan, but that was an awesome call.
All I want, I'm gonna play it one more time. I just want the last part where he just yells on the goal, Delicia! All I know is that means right. That means Izquierda is left, Derecha is right.
Oh, I learned that from the Max. Of course, that's Izquierda.
A la Izquierda.
Yeah. Yes, I just want that last line where the cross comes in.
Hold on.
Macalister Pablo otra vez. Messi, primero, Spence.
Maca.
This part.
Messi, engancha y va, tiró con la derecha.
La derecha!
That is so great.
The roar of that crowd.
It reminds me of
insane.
This guy, the UConn game winner versus Duke.
Yeah, he's not in the same league.
You just can't even get your voice out
not
anymore.
Even the same,
just,
I think he's shocked at how bad Duke effed that up, too.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't get my voice out or say words or speak when the notification came across the timeline that the Blazers traded Jeremy Grant and Chris Murray for Ja Morant. It's still so funny to say out loud. At this point, and we can get into the whole makeup of the roster, we will. But to me, I'm just like, with this team, this franchise, this city, sure, F it. Why not? I don't care.
Can I trust you?
It's not Jaylen Brown. It's not Giannis. But do something. Do something wild, crazy, weird that's going to have people actually remember that, oh, yeah, Portland has an NBA team. That's right. They're relevant. Oh, wait, Ja Morant? Oh, okay. 4 point guards? What the hell? All right. Let's see what happens here, I will say. I uploaded the roster on 2K, by the way, already.
Oh, so you're updated.
To give it a little spin, give it a little run. So far, 7-3 in the first 10 games. Ja Morant, leading scorer for the Blazers.
I mean, we may not even know if those are all the pieces. There might even still be another change or two before the regular season.
Very true, very true. Trades definitely do happen between this point and the beginning of the season. I mean, hell, we got, 3 months before the season starts, basically, mm-hmm. So a lot could happen. But, I mean, initial thoughts, reactions, and then I guess over time thoughts and reactions about the Ja Morant transaction there, Rashad.
So I'll take you back. So the trade happens, and 4 minutes later, I get a call from my buddy Chris, who you guys both know.
And Chris says this on the phone.
Oh! Quite the opposite, actually. He gets on the phone and was like, oh, did you see? And I'm like, did I see what? Like, what happened? He was like, Portland trades Jeremy Grant and Chris Murray. And I'm like, great.
This
like,
sounds phenomenal.
Let's go.
And he was like, for effing Ja Morant. And I was like,
what?
What? Like, and then I look at it and everything. And he goes and he's talking, you know, like, oh, this is just so corny. This is so dumb. And then I thought about it. And I was like, wait a minute, man. You telling me we just got rid of Jeremy Grant's contract and got Ja Morant for it? Like,
would you rather have Jeremy Grant or Chris Murray? Yeah. Or Ja Morant.
I'll take Ja Morant 1,000 times a day. Like, Ja is one of those guys. So I start thinking about him. It's like, wait a minute. So you're telling me, like, somebody that was considered the most exciting player in the NBA now plays for the Trailblazers? Like, for real? It's like, oh, yeah, last year, Ja, he's been trash for the last couple of years. Like, last year he averaged, 19 and, 6. And these were career lows for Ja, and people lost their S about it. You mean to tell me that dude is coming to play for the Blazers and he don't even have to be the guy like that anymore? He can just be somebody in the second unit, maybe somebody to play alongside somebody on the first unit. I went from that's kind of weird to I effing love that. In this day of small ball or positionless basketball, Ja Morant on the Trailblazers, Ja Morant and Shaedon Sharpe coming down on a break with Drew Holiday or Dame running the stop it, bro. Yeah, I'm all in. And then listening to, you know, everything Ja's been saying since then, like initially, like, that's kind of weird. How does that work? But it's not, you're right, it's not Jaylen Brown, it's not Giannis, but this is the splash that Blazer fans have been waiting for a long time.
And so, like, you know, I want to make sure to, you know, be fair about the whole move, is just because when this happened, it was like, all right, sweet, what's next? What are they going to do to...
That was the big thing, yes.
Yeah, and so when you look at the totality of the roster and the team, it's like, how much better is this team, really? Like, what, 4 or 5 more wins instead of a 7 seed, you're a... 5 seed, maybe? I think I said
6.
Yeah. So, I mean, really not that much improvement. At this point, I've been a Blazers fan almost my whole life. I had a short stint with the Charlotte Hornets.
I think we all did.
When I was 10.
I think we all experimented with the Hornets at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
They're just different.
They're starter jackets, man. They got us all. But these last few years, the team has been uninteresting to watch. Yes, we follow the team. There's plenty of drama concerning the team, whether it's the coach, the ownership, the GM, the city, the whatever. There's plenty of news off the court that keeps this team interesting. The on-the-court product, though, has clearly not been pulling us the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And so this year, obviously, the Damian Lillard factor is going to pull people in. But now just this weirdness of this roster and the makeup of it, like, to me, it's just intriguing. And as someone, again, basketball, NBA, it's an entertainment product. Yes, I want to win championships, but give me something to watch and be intrigued by. And if this thing goes into the side of the mountain in the first 20, 30 games, peace. Don't got to commit time to it. And then we're in the same situation we've been in for years. What are we going to do to get out of it and rectify it? But to me, I'm just, again, give me something interesting. And to me, having Dame back, having Ja, this is what I said a few weeks ago. I was filling in on Luke's show. There has never been a basketball player in a Blazers uniform that has the capabilities that Ja Morant has.
Never.
When he is at his best. Question is, are we going to see that Ja Morant again? That is a big question mark at this point. But we haven't seen a player like him in the league ever. At his size and his athleticism,
Derrick Rose, Westbrook, the list is short.
True, very true.
He always looked to me like a Derrick Rose, kind of Damian Lillard combo. And when Ja was young, I mean, because he has, you go look at his stats, he has years where he actually was able to shoot the three. And if he can get that mid-range game back, it is going to be a dangerous Ja Morant with the Portland Trailblazers. So I always saw that potential. It was like Dame plus the ability to get to the hoop and absolutely finish like maybe a Scoot Henderson, but much better. Although I got to trust Treat really quickly, guys. The first indication that I saw that Ja Morant was traded, I didn't even realize it was to the Blazers. It was like that notification on your phone.
Yeah.
And kind of reads like halfway through. And it was like Memphis Grizzlies trade Ja Morant. I was doing a couple other things. I didn't really realize. Like, okay, all right, they finally moved on from Ja. Probably good for them. And then like 10 minutes later,
your
I get a
phone's
text.
Phone's blowing up, yeah.
It's like, dude, what did you see? And I'm like, holy S. Like, I... As far as Joe goes, saying this is kind of a crazy thing to do, I did not believe it at first. It was just an unbelievable, out-of-this-stratosphere kind of move that nobody had talked about. But the Blazers are really good at those. Everybody says, oh, hey, they're going to make this trade. Watch them going for Jaylen Brown. And what they usually do is something that has not even been out in the ether, and that's exactly what they did again. And now, it's pretty exciting, honestly. Like, if you just sit back after the initial reaction... Oh man, just give me something exciting to watch. And I'm even in if they struggle through 20, 30 games, I'm in a little more because of what they're doing.
Man, you guys know how I feel about jerseys, right? Grown men wearing another man's jersey, right? Especially if that man is much younger than you. I might get a Ja Morant jersey.
Stop.
Might get a Ja
Morant
jersey.
Give it 30 games.
Man, hey, listen, man. Listen,
wait a minute.
There are only so many cool names that we've had here in a Portland Trailblazers jersey. And Ja Morant is one of those culturally relevant names in sports.
Dude, you his know, shoe...
Like, it's still like the second best-selling Nike
right out
right now. I think KD and then him are like, those are the two top shoes. And then Sabrina's and all this. Like, yes, Ja Morant, with all the stuff that he's been through these last couple years, his shoe is still up there. The kids still consider Ja one of those ones. Nike still considers Ja Morant. If we think Nike didn't have anything to do with getting this fool here, we're probably tripping a little bit. Like, you can't have your second best, you know, shoe seller trapped in Memphis, not playing, disgruntled, like, you know, injured, quote unquote, all the time. Yeah, I think this was a partnership with the Blazers and Nike.
You think so?
I do. I mean, like I said, this being the home of Nike, them saying, hey, man, we got to get this fool out of Memphis. Nothing good is happening to him in Memphis, Tennessee. We got players that don't even play for Memphis. They're like, we can't have the NBA in Memphis anymore. This is trash.
Again, and I just want to reiterate, looking at the Blazers team, and maybe that's just where we go next, is just the team overall, is that this is not a championship team, and for this to be the move, essentially, and then bringing in two random white dudes I'd never heard of before, and Brendan Carlson, I believe, and Micah Potter.
Micah.
Yeah, which 2K
they,
for
they better
some
shoot.
Hey, shot 40%.
Micah can in 2K for some reason suggests I play him like 17 minutes a game.
Hey, because he gets he buckets.
But again, it's just like I'm intrigued to see how this team looks, especially as you mentioned, not just Ja not needing to be the guy, Dame not needing to be the guy, Denny not needing to be the guy. I mean, these are three ones on teams or have experience being the one on a team, the main guy. They now don't have to rely solely on themselves. I mean, Ja on the driving kick, I mean, that's going to be huge. You have, like, they're going to collapse on him when he's going into the lane, and then you can kick that out to Dame and kick it out to Drew, who's a great shooter. I mean, two, he has his moments where he's on fire. Denny, he's not the best three-point shooter, but that's going to be huge. Again, like Dame, we'll see how it looks off the ball. Again, these are guys that do need the ball in their hands, but I think that this situation with all these players, it is such a unique makeup where Ja, when he met with Mike Anori, did not talk about playing time, did not talk about starting or being on the bench. And Mike even said that, hey, if he says he doesn't care, which Ja mentioned at one point, he's like, man, I don't care. Like, off the bench, start, whatever. Mike is like, all right, well, if he says that and it's a problem at some point, you know, he's got to own up to the fact that he said he was okay with that, coming off the bench. So I'm intrigued to see if all these guys, ball dominant, usually used to being the one, these three primarily, how they're going to work all together.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a problem, only because it'd be different if Ja Morant was a shoot-first point guard. Mm-hmm. The truth is, it's still a dude, and in a down year for him last year, dude averaged 8.1 assists to Memphis. In Memphis, name another player that plays for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Currently or did at
no,
that
time? No, when Ja Morant was on the team last year.
Well, I mean, Jaren Jackson Jr. Was there.
Was he?
He might have been injured. I don't know. I was not watching a lot of Memphis Grizzlies basketball last year.
Yeah, Zach Edey, exactly. The list is short, and the point is this fool was averaging 8 assists in those few games that he played. And so, yeah, I do think things can be a little bit different, you know, for Ja here.
All right, we're way up against it. Take a break. Get back into some Blazers stuff. Talk about the Moda Center. There's been a lot of moving parts. We'll get to the latest on that next here.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, Work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Welcome back, and let's take a break.
All right.
That is the most primetime segment I think I've ever heard. Good job. This is my fault.
This is what happens when, you know, someone misses like a month of shows.
Yeah, there's a lot to catch up on a lot of the time. So, yeah.
Probably would have been good to ask the fan man ahead of time, like, hey, man, I'm adding an hour on Saturday.
Yeah, right. Maybe just do three. Just this one.
Got to catch up.
Just this one day.
Just this one.
You know what I was thinking about too, guys? Man, football season is approaching.
Oh my God,
it's close.
It means 6 o'clock shows.
Oh, maybe a couple.
Yeah.
Oh God, in heaven.
I think there's one early game on the Ducks calendar.
Yeah, but we don't know.
No, we do.
No, for one, yes.
The Oklahoma State game, we will not be on air because that is a big nooner 9 a.m. kickoff.
And we don't want to be on at 4?
I do. I want to be here, all right?
Can we record the show the night before?
I don't know about you guys. I try to be here whenever I can, all right? Except for, you know, when you don't show up.
For camping trips or fishing trips or
All right, I hate to do this. Let's get back on the clock, seriously. I want to do a big old Moda Center seggy next. How about that? All right, it's a very contentious subject, not just here but across the nation.
And it shouldn't be, but whatever.
Yeah, this is the most Portland thing ever that's happening right now.
All right, we'll do that next here. The latest on the Moda Center kerfuffle, if you will. Sports Saturday, Fan Sports Network.
Oh, some Uzi.
Well, I was going to say, get some little Uzi to start the day.
Woo! Dude, this is a hype song right there.
I just want to ride.
Imagine this in a renovated Moda Center. Just 20,000 Blazers fans strong.
Ladies and gentlemen, your Portland Trail Blazers. Like, yeah, that would work. They're running out. This is like when they warm up, right? Like coming out for their shoot around.
Dude, yes. Well, let's try and get that money, huh? That's 600 mil. We did the whole, I think our last show is when we went through the notes of the 600 mil, where it's all coming from and how we're getting to it and everything. And been a lot of back and forth. He said, she said, the city wants this. The Blazers want this, want that. I believe it is a Wright Galloway of K2, if I'm getting all of that right. He's done a great job of covering all of this over there. And I'm trying to find his Twitter because he recently posted, and it was the offer sheet, the term sheet from the city for the Moda Center, which I don't think anything that they put in there was like out of like left field too crazy. So here you go. Right Gazaway, excuse me.
Okay.
Apologies. From K2. The city 2 days ago sent a draft term sheet today or the other day to the Blazers. Here are the terms the city highlighted waiting on the team's response. Non-relocation commitment, a binding 20-year agreement requiring the Trailblazers to play all home games at Moda Center. Fair.
Okay.
Yep.
Labor harmony agreements, requirements for labor peace agreements to support a stable workforce. Basically, let's get union workers to build these things or do this renovation and all these projects.
Basically, people that already have maybe some connections with the city of Portland.
Yes, but I just read that as labor peace agreements.
Yeah,
get some unions working on this. Clear caps on public funding, limits on eligible expenses, and safeguards for the city, state, and county against cost overruns. Listen, I'll be straightforward. I don't even know what the hell all that means.
Try to keep it within cost.
Okay.
Which basically keep it under budget, but good effing luck. That never happens.
Thank you. payment, a $3 million annual payment for property tax offset payment from Rip City Management escalating over time with proceeds shared among the city, county, and Portland Public Schools. Fair.
Well, Tom Dunton already mentioned that, talking about paying the taxes at this rate. And so basically the city's like, yeah, you will be on the hook for that for sure.
Community benefits, commitments, requirements for community event access, local hiring, sustainability standards, and partnerships with Albina-based organizations. All fair. I feel like this is all basically like, hey.
Keep it local.
Yeah, keep it local. You're staying here. You're not moving. You're locked in for 20 years. You hire local union workers for these projects.
Well, in the Albina neighborhood specifically, the Moda Center, the Rose Garden being
Albina
built,
Vision Trust.
Exactly. It displaced. There's been that long debate of people being displaced, of black residents that had to basically move because of freeways being built in that area because of so much happening. So this is basically to do what we can to make sure that we are giving back because, yeah, we took that land and we ain't never giving it back, and that sucks. So that's keeping that going, basically.
So yeah, I think those are all fair points. And this is the thing that, I mean, this whole, and if you listen to our show, I'm sure you're listening on Monday through Friday, and I feel like a lot of our opinions are the same. There's been a lot of bad reporting and aggregating of 100%. This story that has gone outside of Portland to make it look like
a lot of fear mongering.
They want Portland to pay all $600 million of that.
Yes.
$365 million is from the state.
Mm-hmm.
$88 is from the county. $120 of that $600, technically $573 million, is from the city. It's not a full $600 million. And honestly, that $120, when it gets broken out, like some of it is from the sale. Some of it is from that clean energy fund, which mm-hmm. that needs to be found
it's like,
out.
It's like $60 or something like that.
Yeah, and it's basically like that stuff can only be used on parts of the renovation that are going to be zero emission, mm-hmm. you know, green, help with lowering emissions, things like that. And again, just when I look back at it, look at this, it's like I almost want to, you know, because there's people in this city that just look at this and they say sports bad, billionaire bad, $600 million, no way, F you, go somewhere else. That's where I want to shake them and be like, hey, take a look at this stadium deal in this other city. Mm-hmm. They had to pay $1 billion.
Yeah.
Look
LA at this or all these other places.
Look at this city over here, Miami. Oh, you know what Dade County did? They got absolutely raked over the coals for this stupid Marlins stadium that nobody goes to in the city and all the residents are paying for and the county is paying for the next God knows how many years. A lot of money for it. A lot. This happens all over. So for us to essentially us, and I feel like it is a small vocal minority, which is annoying because it's smaller. The fact that they are bitching and moaning about this small of an investment from the city in a building that they own, they are the landlords of it. Like, I just don't even see. And again, maybe we get to the point, like, what would kill me in all this is if we get the city council vote and it ends up being like 10-2 in favor. And it was just like, this was all for nothing. Like, they're going to be like, and I don't know how it's leaning, what the, you know, how people think, but I could totally see a few of the city councilors are like, I don't know about this. We'll see. And then end up just like, okay, yeah, we're going
to
vote for
this. You know, I have to be real. I think there are some city officials that kind of like this scenario that they're in right now, that Portland is in. I mean, let's think about this. Portland has been the eye of sports media for the last month and a half, where they're talking about Dundon as the owner and all the stuff that's happened. Now, for the last few weeks, John Morant has dominated the news headlines and everything like that. Like, Portland all of a sudden has become this thing. So I think, yeah, like, having their name in this news cycle as often as it has been, I think there's some – I think they like that a little bit because this should be an easy thing. I think all of us are sitting here saying, like, this shouldn't be this hard. And I think a lot of people want – Dundon to be the person to blame for this, but this is one of the few things that we can say, man, this ain't on Dundon. This is not his responsibility. The Blazers play in this arena for 6 months out of the year. That's it. They don't typically play deep into May and June.
Literally 41 days of the calendar year.
So what about the concerts that come?
Maybe more if playoffs.
And the rodeo that comes and the everything else that comes there.
Or like, how about all the people and all the acts and all the artists and everybody that don't come because they're like, because that's not a crap arena.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I think there's people not really reading into everything and not knowing the whole story. But yeah. Number one, we talked about this a couple weeks ago when you were gone, Joe. The first thing I said was, you understand that this is the arena doesn't belong to Tom Dundon. The arena doesn't belong to the Portland Trailblazers.
Which is different than it was before.
They are tenants. They lease. Like anybody else staying in an apartment or anything else like that. Like, so.
Well, imagine if you like were renting out your apartment and the tenant like that was like running a business out of it and making you money. Like, and then they're like, hey, dude, we're making you money, and this building is nice, but, dude, if you renovated it, if you could, like, you know, spend some money to, like, fix this up, dude, we can make this so much better.
More.
I don't know about that. It's like, dude, what are you talking? We're bringing in this
revenue.
We're
doing fine. Yeah.
They're not going to make the tenant pay for a water leak in the roof. That goes to the landlord, and here the Blazers are not the landlords anymore.
And again, if they're that tenant is helping the landlord make money from the property,
It's your highest, you know, it's your highest selling, you know, thing that you have there is the Trailblazers. Like you get 41 concerts throughout the year, essentially with the Blazers. And then if you make the playoffs, eight more.
That's just the Blazers. Add in all the fire games as well. Mm-hmm. And look at the support that they've gotten this year. I mean, it's just, I feel like if the fan council, fan city council, this would be a 12-0 vote for all the people that are in the that work in this building. So it's a lot of yelling at each other back and forth about how we need to. Yes, we all agree on this, but I just feel like sometimes these details, and honestly, and I forgot about this when I mentioned it, Ryke Gasaway was on primetime last night with Souk, did an interview. If you want to go back and listen to that, super informative, did a great job explaining the situation. And those are the types of people that need to get the platforms to be able to tell the facts of the story and what is actually happening. Well, so encourage you to go back and listen to that if you haven't.
To your point, Joe, about it kind of being, well, if it were a fan council, an easy 12-0 vote, I truly believe that city council, despite their public posturing, is in full support of this because they are sitting in a room looking at spreadsheets, looking at the future money that can come in, and they see this is a huge economic boon for the city of Portland going forward. It's just the money talks, and they have to, unfortunately, because of the political climate we're in, go out and posture. They've got to act like that they want to hear what their constituents have to say because this is what politicians do. Yeah. I'm not picking on either party here. I'm just saying this is how things happen, and this is, you know, how things get pushed through despite maybe opposition from the public. So I truly believe that they are, most of them, frankly, are deep down diehard Blazers fans or have family members that are Blazers fans. And it's kind of hard to tell people that they're close to, no, we're not in support of this. And they have to publicly, unfortunately, say otherwise to make it look like they actually care about, you know, whatever other issues people that have voted for them have brought up. But also, we got to point out one more time, Rashad and I did this, Joe, while you were out, that the Blazers getting funded privately by their owner, which was what happened for so many years. It's how they helped build Rose Garden in the first place. I think Paul Allen put almost more than a third of the money up. The private funding situation is the exception to the rule. Really quickly, right here. In the NFL, out of 32 teams, you got SoFi, which is Stan Kroenke, and the LA Rams. Because LA said, hey, we got too much going on. If you want to come here, you can, but you've got to do it yourself. You got MetLife, which was the split between the Giants and the Jets. That was privately funded. And then Gillette Stadium, which was funded by the Kraft family, still is. And in baseball, you've got like Wrigley, Dodger Stadium at Oracle Park, and then in the NBA, to bring it back,
Wrigley was built a billion years ago.
Exactly, and it's still, what did they do, like a $300 or $400 million renovation in the 2010s? Right. That was funded still by the Ricketts family and the owners because they know the neighborhood is kind of not okay with them necessarily being there. There's specific situations, and to the NBA, literally two. The Intuit Dome, which is the current day Paul Allen, I would say, by Steve Ballmer.
Yeah.
You know, he essentially, as a Microsoft executive, took his money in, and then the Chase Center, which is also, you know, it's a big old rich family. The Blazers, unfortunately, do not have that situation anymore, and I hope fans can understand that going forward.
Yeah, it's just, it's not going to happen. And as I said at the beginning, look at what some other cities had to do for the public funding, And I think that we just basically as a city need to shut the hell up, have zero leverage in this, write the check for $120 million.
Don't mess around and lose your team.
Yeah. This is
don't mess around and lose your team.
I think that behind closed doors, some of these city council members, last thing, that are doing the posturing and playing the whole political game, I think behind closed doors, there's a few of them that are like, do you want this blood on your hands? Do you realize what is going to happen?
People will burn down your house here. If this team, seriously, if you, there will be riots and the likes that you will never.
I don't know if there will be riots, but
what are you talking? Did you see what they did for during COVID? Did you see how they tore this thing up?
A little bit different than losing a pro sports team.
You think these people, you take away this Trailblazers team, and there's nothing else in town. You think these people won't tear some S up?
I hope.
Please.
I mean, they will burn down houses. I don't hope they burn
I'm
down.
I'm telling you,
houses.
I don't hope either, but it will be bad.
Yeah, no, like I said, man, it's like, that's where I think those conversations are happening behind closed doors. It's like, if you want to go and vote for this or vote against this, be my guest. See how that plays out for you. Please. Please. All right, hour number two coming up. We got plenty of NBA transactions to go over. Giannis, Jaylen Brown, LaMelo.
LaMelo.
Love that trade.
And then the other LeBron, who is doing the most LeBron thing ever, of course.
News out of the Pickleball League.
Yeah, that's right. The Pickleball League. Dundon. He's putting leaks out there through his pickleball players. Hour number two, plenty of NBA stuff. Stick around, why don't you? Wow, lots of YouTube engagement and on the text machine, 503-864-6326. Stay texting in. Appreciate all the contributions there. Hour number two, coming up, Sports Saturday, Fan Sports Network.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple!